Today, we're going to talk about Jesus' entry into Jerusalem as he is riding on a donkey, and you know the story. But let me just tell you what's leading up to that. Throughout history, from about 1500 B.C., God instituted a covenant with the children of Israel, and it had to do with the Passover, where the angel came and he passed over over Egypt, and everyone of the Israelites had taken some blood and placed it on their doorposts, and whoever door the blood was placed over, the blood of the sheep or the lamb, then those individuals would not lose their firstborn. And so God instituted the Passover. And he said, every year, I want you to celebrate the Passover. Well, this week is the Passover week. And the Israelites, the Jews, the Orthodox Jews, have been celebrating the Passover for thousands of years. Year after year after year after year. And so during this week of Jesus' life, the Jews are celebrating the Passover week. And this is what happens. So let's just say that Tillamook is Jerusalem. Okay? And people from all over Oregon are coming to celebrate Passover week. People would leave their home in Klamath Falls. They would start making their trek to Tillamook. People from Portland, people from Pendleton, people from all over Oregon would start making their trek to Tillamook. And as they came, they would start singing these songs called the Songs of Ascent. And you'll find them in Psalm chapter 120 through 134. And so they start singing these songs. And as they go, there are other families and other groups of people who will join them, and they start singing these songs with them all the way to Tillamook. And the closer they get to Tillamook, the larger the crowd becomes, until you get to Jerusalem and there are millions of people singing these songs to the Lord. It's amazing. And people from all over are there, and they're just singing these praises, and they're all in unison, and they're just glorifying the Lord with their songs. And by the time Jesus comes on his donkey, and we're going to read about that in a minute, by the time Jesus comes on his donkey, there are thousands upon thousands of people lining the streets of Jerusalem. It's an amazing event. Can you even imagine being a part of that? Incredible. And people are on the streets of Jerusalem, and they're singing these songs to the Lord. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people. Their voices echoing off the buildings. Amazing. And then, as they are singing, as they are clapping, as they are praising the Lord in song, someone turns their head and looks and says, "It's Jesus!" Let's read this passage in Luke chapter 19, verses 29 through 40. Let's stand together as we read this. And as they came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. He said, "Go into that village over there," he told them. "As you enter it, you'll see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, 'Why are you untying that colt?' just say, 'The Lord needs it.' So they went and found the colt just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And Jesus and the disciples simply replied, 'The Lord needs it.' So they brought the colt to Jesus, threw their garments over it for him to ride on. And as he rode along, crowds spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When they reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heavens. Some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." And he replied, "If they keep quiet, the stones along the road will burst into cheers." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, in my mind's eye, I can see you riding down the road. And I can see the thousands with uplifted hands praising you. Laying their coats down in the road, waving palm branches. What it would have been like to be there. Lord, I don't know what was in everyone's heart at that time. But Lord, I do know this. That I'll speak for myself. I don't offer you the worship that you deserve. Lord, I pray that today, that as we look into your word, that we'll be able to take away what it means to truly worship you, and to be able to do so on a daily basis. Lord, oftentimes perhaps we put off worshiping you to get to church on Sunday. But Lord, I'm convinced if it's going to be from the heart, it needs to be a daily activity that we participate in. So Lord, as we come before you, I pray that you would again open our hearts to be able to hear, understand, and apply the truths that you have for us. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. There was a prophecy written about 600 B.C., about 600 years before Jesus came. And the prophecy was talking about in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, they're talking about this very thing where Jesus comes into Jerusalem on a donkey. It says, "Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He's righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt." As the people began yelling, as they began praising the Lord, the songs are drowned out. The singing turns into actual praising. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the merchants who perhaps were there and selling their merchandise, that they stopped selling and join in. There's Jesus. Probably, everyone there had heard of Jesus. And they probably, as coming to Jerusalem at the Passover, probably thought, man, maybe we'll get to see Jesus when we're there. Maybe we'll get to see Jesus perform a miracle. I would love to see Jesus while I'm in Jerusalem. I mean, I'm going to imagine that would be the case. I can't imagine it not being. And so, on Main Street, here comes Jesus, riding on a donkey. And people began cheering, began praising him, began quoting portions of the Psalms about the one who's coming down the street. I just want to share this with you. Jesus deserves our praise just as much as the Father does. So I'm going to let you join in with me a little bit. Why do you believe that Jesus deserves our praise? And if something comes to mind, I want you to just stand up and tell me. I'm sorry? He died for us. Someone else?
He paid for our sins.
He forgives us. Okay, amen. He was obedient to the Father. Somewhere else. He was beaten for us. By His stripes, we are healed. Amen. Someone else.
He was holy.
What did you say? He intercedes for us. Someone else. He loved us while we were yet sinners. Someone else. He came to heal the brokenhearted. I'm sorry? He's part of the Trinity. Amen. Someone else. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He sent the Holy Spirit to us, Nancy. Amen. He breaks our chains. Amen. Hallelujah. Ron? Okay. Because of Jesus, His Father can look upon us as sinless individuals. Amen. Praise the Lord. Laura? He set the captives free. Amen. He's also creator. He's also provider. There's a lot of things we can give praise to Jesus for, and we don't have to think about it very much in order for that to become a thing of our lips. We also can praise Him for the things He has done for us. In verse 37 that we just read, it said, all of His followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. I mean, they had saw Jesus performed some wonderful things. They had saw Him heal blind eyes. They had seen Him heal paraplegic. They had seen Him raise people from the dead. His followers had seen that. Some of the others perhaps hadn't seen that, but His followers saw that, and they began praising Him for the things that they had seen Jesus do. Now, He's done a lot of things in this congregation. And as we look at those things, we can give Him praise for the wonderful things that He has done. We can praise Him for healing us physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. God has done some marvelous things for us. Oh, by the way, we finally got this property on Tuesday. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And people have already started begun working on it and began to put it in shape. So the Lord has been good to us individually, but He's also good to us cooperatively. And we need to praise Him for the things not only He has done for us, but also, and we've already done so, but praise Him because He has forgiven our sins. Because He's forgiven our sins. Excuse me. So what does it mean to worship? What does it mean to worship? To give Him honor and praise. The word honor actually means heavy. So if you honor someone, not that they are overweight, but it means that their word, that as a person, what they say is something that you weigh heavily. and you take it into your life. When Scripture says to the children, honor your father and mother, basically what it means is that when they say something to you that you need to weigh heavily what they say. Because what they say is for your good. And when we honor the Lord and He says something to us, He's saying it for our benefit, not to hurt us, but for our benefit, and we need to weigh heavily what He says. And so in order to honor Him, in order to praise Him, not only is there this verbal assent or exclamation or proclamation of who Jesus is and what He's done, but there's also this area in our life where we live it out. In John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, this passage of Scripture says, and you remember this, probably this conversation where Jesus is having with this Samaritan woman, and she says, she asked Him a question about worship. And Jesus tells her, but the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. For God is spirit, so that those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So I hope you understand what I'm fixing to share with you. I hope I'm able to communicate it in a way that you can understand. This passage of Scripture says if we're going to worship the Father, we must worship Him in spirit and truth. Basically, what it means is that we have to have a heart connection with Him. Not just a mental connection, but we have to have a heart connection with Him. Do you have a heart connection with somebody that's close to you? Somebody that you can dialogue with, somebody that you can connect with? That picture, that person come into your mind? That's the kind of relationship, when we're worshiping, that's the kind of relationship that the God wants us to have with Him. He wants us to bond with Him. He wants us to connect with Him. Worship can be just a verbal assent, a mental assent, but true worship comes from the heart. So, when you're worshiping, there's no hiding. Okay? There's a lot of people who are afraid to get close to God. They're afraid to be intimate with Him because of the crud they feel is in their life. Someone told me one time, the word intimacy actually means into me see. And if you want to have an intimate relationship with the Lord, you're going to have to open your heart and let Him in. Don't keep any doors closed. Don't keep any chambers locked up. You're actually going to allow Him to come in and let Him address whatever issues are in your heart that would keep you from experiencing Him. Does that make sense? Okay. So true worship begins when you're able to open your heart without any bars surrounding you. And you're able to allow Him to connect with you in that way. So I want to ask you a question. How is your heart? What shields do you have up that are protecting you? When I was in high school, I played football. And I would get dressed in my football uniform because I knew I was going to get hit and I knew I was going to hit somebody. And the reason I put those protections on is so that I wouldn't hurt so bad. Okay? I don't know how those guys who play rugby do it. I don't like pain. But there are many people who have put on their suit of armor, which is not of God, to protect themselves from being hurt emotionally, rather than trusting the Lord with that hurt. As long as we have those shields up, then we're not able to worship in the manner that the Lord would have us worship. For a long time, I had shields in my life. And every now and then, I think, there's a shield. I got to take it down. The shield. I got to take it down. And it may be because I don't want to be hurt. There may be shields of fear. There may be shields of anger. There may be shields of unforgiveness. There may be some other shields. If I let people in, if I let God in, I'm going to get hurt again. Let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus ever got hurt? I'll ask you another question. Did He ever put any shields up to keep from getting hurt? I think every rejection He felt, Scripture says that He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And it was as if we turned our faces from Him. You think Jesus felt that? He felt it to the core of His being because He didn't have any shields up. God didn't say you wouldn't be brokenhearted. But what He did say is that I will heal the brokenhearted. Jesus never put any shields up, but He knew how to go to the Father and receive what He needed in order for Him to be able to continue the ministry that God had for Him. If He had put shields up around His life, He would have never been able to finish what God prepared for Him and planned for Him to do. Many of us put shields up. Not only are we unable to worship the Father and worship Jesus Christ and worship the Holy Spirit, we're unable to finish and complete the work that God has designed for us to do because we're walking around in a cell block. In order for us to worship, we have to let those things down. It reminds me of those people in Jerusalem throwing their coats on the street. That's what we're going to have to do with those shields. We've got to take them off and throw them down and let Jesus walk on. That's what we're going to have to do. So I'm going to ask you again, what shields do you have that are protecting you? Now, God has given us a shield. It's called a shield of faith. But if there's any other shield other than faith that's protecting you, then it's sin. And that needs to be released to the Lord. Okay? Do you understand? Right. It's very important that you get this. Very important. we can celebrate Jesus with our mouth through song. There's a lot of songs that are written celebrating Jesus. We sang a couple of them a while ago. We can do that through praise. And whether you can carry a tune or not, doesn't really matter. But when you begin to proclaim Jesus and offer Him praise with your lips, that's just as beautiful to Him as if someone who has a wonderful voice. Doesn't matter to Him. And by the way, I'll let you know, Tom and Renee and I have talked about this. On the fifth Sunday in June, I'm not trying to scare you away.
Show up.
Anyone who has an instrument, I want you to bring it. We're going to have a celebration. If you play the banjo, if you play the whatever, I want you to bring it. We're going to have some easy songs with chords, and we're going to celebrate together in musical instruments, and in singing, and in praise. Okay? So we're going to have a chairs in a circle, and we're going to just praise the Lord in that manner. Okay? So just kind of let you know that, so that you can be aware of that and preparing, and maybe if you want to do that, and Renee can get you the songs, you can practice. Or not. It doesn't matter. We're going to make a joyful noise to the Lord. Okay? We're going to make a joyful noise to the Lord. We need to give thanksgiving. Don't wait until the third Thursday in November to give God thanks. We need to do it on a daily basis. There's a lot to be thankful for. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, it says, "Since we are receiving a kingdom that's unshakable, let's be thankful and please God by worshiping Him with holy fear and awe." Did you know that worshiping God pleases Him? Worshiping Him pleases Him. We need to not only worship Him with our lips, but we also need to worship Him with our life. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Scripture says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." You know, it reminds me of David in Jerusalem. He was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And as he was bringing it back, man, he was in the moment. And he took his coat off, and he began dancing and spiraling and praising God and worshiping Him with all of his might. With all of his might. It also reminds me of and that's an act of worship. It also reminds me of So, Simon, who was a Pharisee, had Jesus come and eat with them. And as they were eating, now in those days, in order to eat, they would lay on couches and eat like this. I guess depending on if you're left-handed or right. But they would lay it on couches. They weren't sitting around the table they were laying around the table, reclining. And as Jesus was eating with Simon the Pharisee, this lady, name's not given. This lady comes up and she's weeping. She's weeping. Tears are falling on Jesus' feet. She takes her hair and she cleanses his feet. Tears. Takes her hair and wipes them off. Tears. 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 And she wipes her. Then she takes an alabaster oil, goblet of oil, and pours it on Jesus' feet, and the fragrance fills the room. That was her act of worship. And when I read that, I'm thinking, am I that kind of worshiper? I want to be that kind of worshiper. I mean, she humbled herself. She really didn't care what anybody else thought. She could care less what Simon thought of her. I want to be that kind of worshiper. And if I'm not, which I don't think I am, I have to ask myself, why not? What is hindering me from being that kind of worshiper? What's in my heart that I need to lay down, that I need to get rid of? Because there's always going to be someone who doesn't like worship. There's always going to be those who do not like worship. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was going down the road on his donkey, or somebody else's donkey, somebody said, listen, they are giving you praise. You need to stop them. Stop them from giving you praise. And Jesus said, if I stop them, the rocks are going to cry out. I'm not going to stop them. When David was doing his little dance, I guess a big dance, when he was spinning around and giving praise to the Lord, his wife, McCall, tried to stop him. She was jealous. She was angry. She was bitter. When this lady comes to worship Jesus by washing his feet with her tears and drying it with her hair, Simon is thinking, if Jesus only knew what kind of person that was, if Jesus only knew the kind of sinner she was, he would not let her touch him. And I'm wondering, was Simon not able to worship the way she did because he hadn't been forgiven? Perhaps there was pride in the Pharisee's heart. The Pharisee's life, that he would not humble himself in order to worship in that manner. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night because there was fear in his heart. Fear of what others might say. So here's what I'm wondering. What is my hang-up? What is my hang-up? What's in me to keep me from worshiping God like he deserves? Ask you the same question. What's in your life that's hindering you from worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth? We're going to sing. We're going to celebrate. I want us to worship. In these next songs that we're going to sing, I want us to worship. Truly worship. I'm going to be up here. I'm going to be sitting here. If you want to come talk to me, I'll be here on the front. You come just kind of make your way. Just sit down with me about anything. And perhaps there's some prayer you need to have prayed for. I'll be here. If there are other leaders in our church, if you want to go to one of those for prayer, you're welcome to do that. Okay? But in these next few minutes, let's connect with the Lord. Open our hearts. Remove anything that is hindering us from truly worshiping Him. And let's be like those people on Main Street of Jerusalem. And let's worship Him. Father, I come before You today. Thank You for what You're doing, You've done. And Lord, perhaps as I've been speaking, there are those that You've revealed areas in their lives and my life that is keeping us from truly worshiping You. Lord, forgive us. Lord, there may be here some that have never experienced the forgiveness of sins, and that's why they don't worship. How can we worship if that has not been a part of our lives? So Lord, today, if that's the case with anyone here, I pray that they would receive Your forgiveness, receive Christ, come to a salvation knowledge, the One who came to set us free. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's stand together.